Blog Talk Radio.
World is moving much too fast. Mothers have kids, they all learn. Young men think it's hard. Everybody's trying hard to find a life in a world that's flawed. When each one should be thanking God.
Back down on my knees. Oh,
coming, but I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Are you there?
Hello?
Yes, hold tight there. Sir, hold tight. We have a few technical difficulties. Just hold tight with us and we'll get you right in here.
Yeah, okay. All right.
All righty. All right, guess we apologize for the technical difficulty. I think you can hear me. We're trying to get our guest on right now. And if you will just bear with us, we'll get him here. Okay. We're going to go back to some music again, if you all just bear with us until we can get our guest here online. So just bear with us here a minute. We're going to go again to some music here. And this is Talk Straight. Your host is Ruben Dockery. We're trying to work out a little glitch here, but bear with us here.
All right.
Yeah.
You there? Okay, great, 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 great.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you well now. I can hear you well.
Mm-hmm.
Great, great.
Okay.
I think we're on track now. Mr. Wall, are you there?
Okay.
Yes, I am.
Okay, great, great, great. We are now on track. We're now on track. Let me go and do my monologue here, and then we'll come back. And I do apologize for the difficulty there. Looks like we at the last minute we had a little glitch there. But we'll work that out. We'll send that information to the radio, the people who manage the platform here. Nonetheless, this is your host, Ruben Docker, and we are on Talk Straight. Tonight our topic is parent empowerment, the difference between child abuse and parental discipline. At a time when nationally many are conflicted in their response to out-of-control young people, which is often violent and disruptive, justice is called for. But yet there are others who want to see tempered mercy, and they want to see hope for restoration of young people who've gone astray. Tonight, that's what we're going to talk about with our host here, Mr. Vincent Horsley. This must be a dynamic show because the devil wanted to get all in the way of this thing, but God is still on the throne. I'm glad to know he's still in charge. Let me again say that you can give us a call right here on Talk Straight and join us in our dialogue at 657-383-0944. Again, that's 657-383-0944. This is a format by which Building Families and Communities Institute seeks to get its message out nationally about ways that we can empower communities by engaging them in collective processes to empower themselves. And more specifically, we have a local initiative in our home-based city of Nashville, and it is, in fact, a parent empowerment initiative. Having said all of that, we're going to go and begin our monologue. Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, and we're going to look at verses 1 and 6 for the purpose of our discussion tonight. Verse 1 says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than gold." Verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." I want to look at some subcultural views or ideas about discipline just for a second. Some of them include, and you may have heard some of these before, parents have a God-given right or even a duty to whip their children and use whatever force necessary to make them mind them. I know you all have heard that before. I certainly have heard it in my own household. But, again, it's reflective of some of the ideas that we've heard. Another is the only way to make a child behave is by instilling fear in them at every chance from an early age. Children should be seen and not heard. Physical punishment won't hurt your child, fair and a rod, because one day they'll grow out of it and appreciate it. Lastly, because the parent gave birth to the child, they have an automatic right to take him out of the world if they so choose. Now let's look at what legally child abuse is. Child abuse and neglect, considered any recent recent act or failure to act on the part of a parent or guardian, a caretaker, which results in death, serious physical or emotional harm, sexual abuse, or exploitation, or an act or failure to act at which presents an imminent risk of serious harm. for a second, let me talk about what parental discipline is from a, again, a legal standpoint. We do this because there's a lot of dissension and disagreement about what it means, what it means, and those type of things. Most states do not prohibit parents from spanking their children in all circumstances. However, all of the states have statutes that define child abuse. If a parent is accused of child abuse because he or she has struck a child, then a judge or jury would need to decide whether the parent's actions constituted abuse. Based on state law, as applied to the facts of the specific case, the federal government has enacted in 1974 the Child Abuse Prevention and Treatment Act. It's also known as Public Law 93-247, and in short, CAPTA, which provides minimum standards that states must incorporate in their legislative process and determine what child abuse is. CAPTA requires the definition of child abuse and neglect to include any act or failure to act on part of a parent or caretaker which results in death, serious physical or emotional harm, sexual abuse or exploitation, or an act or failure to act which presents an imminent risk of serious harm, end quote. And pursuant to CAPTA standards, a short spanking is unlikely to constitute, state by state, a child abuse because it does not result in serious physical or emotional harm. However, if the parent repeatedly spanks that child with a closed fist or some object, heavy object, and there is presence of bruises and there is evidence of physical injury to the child, then that will certainly fall under the definition, the federal definition, as CAPTA has identified as child abuse. And looking at the severity of the actions, the state in which the actions occurred will determine just how much it fits their definition of assault and or child abuse. Further, if a parent's action resulted in physical injury, then the actions could also be considered abuse. Just for a second, let me talk about what corporal punishment is and then offer what is a healthy consideration moving forward. So corporal punishment is the intentional infliction of pain, which is designed to punish a person for his or her actions and teach that person not to do it again. In the United States, corporal punishment most often refers to physical discipline of children and is usually used in a school setting. About one half of the states, including California and Massachusetts, have outlawed corporal punishment. In Tennessee, it is not outlawed, but is not used in metro schools. However, in many states, corporal punishment remains legal. It seems to be most prevalent in southern states such as Florida and Mississippi. And in those states, corporal punishment, like parental physical discipline, is allowed, but the right to inflict corporal punishment is not unlimited. School administrators, teachers, and other adults must still follow the state law relative to child abuse. Physical discipline of children is a hotly contested topic in the United States. We hear people argue that I ain't going to put my child in time out. I'm just going to whoop their tail. Well, many people find themselves before courts explaining themselves or how what their actions resulted into were not, in fact, child abuse. And they would say, well, I didn't know. I didn't think that's what it was. I love my child and things of that nature. But me to the last thing that I want to share with you in this monologue before we bring our guest in, and that is a concept called positive behavioral support. Positive behavioral support is a management system used to understand what is it that causes an individual's challenging behavior to start and to continue. A person's inappropriate behaviors often are difficult to change because they have a specific function for them. And when you see a child who's grown up and all they know is fighting, all they know is scrapping to survive, all they know is frustration and anger and expressing those type of things, the function for them is a coping strategy of survival. It's important to understand that if you're going to address that, you can't come with the same behavior and expect to change the behavior, but you must come with an understanding, supportive approach that will allow that individual to see that not everybody is your enemy, and you don't always have to be on guard and ready to fight. These are the type of reinforcements that are needed in environments where there's always people feeling like, hey, I got to be on my grind and ready to protect myself because somebody else may come after me. This is Talk Straight. This is your host, Ruben Dockery, and I'm glad to bring now a very special guest and a man who understands this, I'm convinced, what we're talking about, Mr. Vincent Horsley, resident right here in Nashville, Tennessee, and a civil rights figure who we know was involved in the struggle back as far as 1962. We're grateful to have you. Mr. Horsley, good evening.
Good evening, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to be a part of this show.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes,
a
sir.
Very interesting topic is, okay. I was listening. We're talking about discipline, and that's something that, as you have indicated, people and families have their definition of what they believe discipline is all about. You know, and that discipline can be a verbal or a physical. And I believe that most people, when they think of a discipline, they usually think of the physical.
Right, right.
But the verbal is just as important. You know, if verbal discipline is enacted, it could prevent physical discipline.
That's true. That is so true. Yeah, you know, there is a historical writer, James Beasley, I believe his name is. He wrote a book entitled Slave Community. And what he did was to document the effect that physical punishment with a whip and things of that nature on slaves psychologically, even after slaves were freed in 1865, there was still in their mind this idea to make somebody mind you, you had to put some sort of physical force on them. That's the only way you can make them do so. And he documented how this was a running thread or a common theme in terms of African-American ideas of discipline. What do you think about that?
You know, I think that same type of thinking applies today. You know, when we look at discipline as punishment, it really should be a correction. How can I correct a certain behavior? And I don't believe that you can start or begin too early. You know, a person made a statement, and I think they were serious about it, but it seemed to be a little funny when they say that it's nothing cute about a bad child. So at the early stage, you know, once a child can follow the directions, you know, then it's time for you to instill a discipline. And that discipline is not with a loud voice or using threatening gestures. It's just more or less it's a way that you are communicating with that child.
Right, right. You know, And you've been to, you actually shared, you were one of our presenters, as well as Pastor Waller, at a recent conference we strive to share here in Nashville. And it's so, we've talked about this then, how, as you said it earlier, it's so common for not just blacks, but whites as well, but certainly African Americans, to take the notion that I'm a weak parent and I'm falling short if I don't make sure that my children know that they ought to be afraid of me whooping their tail. I mean, physically doing so. And it begs the question, from the time they were born and to the point that you feel like you've got to physically strike out at them, where was the communication? What's the gap there? That always, I always find that particularly peculiar, that when you ask that question, it seemed to be difficult to answer. What happened between birth and the time you felt like you really need to put the hammer down on them? What are your thoughts on that? Pastor Waller, feel free to jump in here as well.
Yeah, okay, man. God bless you, man. Thank you for tapping in. And I just wanted to say we expect to hear great things from you through the process. What I think about that instantly, correction, you know, and he was talking about the fear of being able to endure being chastised. You know, it's like you plead, you don't want them to chastise you right then. Sometimes they may just say, well, I'll wait till later on, you know, and maybe,
right,
and trust that they forget about that and won't discipline you. But I was just talking to a friend not long ago, and he was just, I guess I'd say 30 minutes ago, and this man said to me, he said, when you know that, and then, excuse me, I came from the streets, so, I mean, he utilized knowing that I came from the streets, and when something occurred, he knew I was straightening out right then. And he was saying, man, it's the same thing, you're working with God. And sometimes, you know, you have to learn how to accept that when things take place, you straighten it out right then. And that, yeah, man, because the word says all scriptures are made by inspiration of God. It is profitable doctrine for reproof, for correction.
Right.
And a lot of times, a lot of people can't handle correction, man. And so that's one of the things that I love the most, is being able to be corrected and be all right with it, especially when you know that you're wrong. And I think that that's what's going on. And I just wanted to listen to what was going on and to be able to get great information.
Sure. Mr. Horsley, what is the fine line between being abusive and disciplining your child? Could you give us a qualitative measure of that, or a definition? Where is that point that you cross over the line?
Well, I don't think it's whenever you get to the point where a person really realizes that that they are doing wrong, and you can instill that in a child, it, I guess, before they are within months, you know, you can do it with love, just to shake your head, no, you can't do that.
Right.
If you can come up with all the other sayings, you could discipline. If the child knows, they understand your body language, just to shake your head with a smile on your face, no, you can't do that, and be consistent with it. Then you are instilling in that child a sense of discipline. You don't have to spank their hands or their legs or something here. Then what you're doing, it could become fear. It's nothing worse than a fearful child. Then they're not doing what they're supposed to do, because it's wrong. They're not doing it because they are afraid of the consequences. And the consequences really should not be the first thing that comes to your mind. I'm going to punish you if you do this. I'm going to punish you if you don't do that. You have to build a relationship with a baby. Now, how we define when it was a baby, whether it was a month old, 2 months old, but I'm amazed how quickly children grow up now.
Well,
I see some children behave in within, look like weeks. That would take children months to reach to that point in their life.
Well, can I say this? What cognitive researchers have long believed, I'm going to say within the last 30 years or better, is that the brain's function is about 70% complete in terms of its ability to take in information and to begin thinking about and process at age 3. So to your point, often we assume that small toddlers are not aware or just so unconscious of what's going on that they're not picking up important lessons, either good or bad. And you're right. They're taking in information. They may not know how to articulate it or to process
right.
it on an adult level, but they're taking it in, and they're watching the adults. And it's something you all said. You said when they know they're doing wrong. Well, they may have a sense that something is out of order, but to your point, Mr. Horsley, they don't understand what's wrong or disruptive about the behavior. All they know is somebody might what get me. So when do they learn to understand why it is not appropriate to engage in certain actions, as opposed to I shouldn't do it just out of fear? Because what I will submit to you is it is when children get to be of chronological age, 18 or older, that they feel like now I can do what I want to. I don't have to be afraid of somebody stopping me or getting me when I do it. But they miss the opportunity quite often of understanding what was wrong, what was unproductive about the behavior. And I think that was the point that both of you all were making.
You know, I think once a child, and, you know, I'm not an expert, of course, in this, but I think babies, and I'm continuing to use the term babies, you know, just a month.
Okay.
I guess
they
could call them toddlers and all the other definitions. So they are able to understand better than they can articulate.
That's right.
They know, you know, just the nod of the head, no. A nod of the head, yes. Child really learned to crawl. Then that
Uh-oh.
Person, and they'll look, you see a child beginning to crawl, they'll look toward the parent or someone to see, am I supposed to be doing it?
Watch out there.
Or then after they start crawling, then they begin to start get on their feet to be a toddler, then they're still looking for approval.
Okay.
Then as they go to other different stages in their life, they're looking for approval from the person in charge, whether it's the parent or whoever that person is.
Absolutely. 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 And you know that wow. So I you know, over the years of working in corrections and youth development in the public school system, and even as a pastor over the last 19 years, I've had the occasion to deal with a lot of good people, gentlemen, who really felt like they were doing what was in the best interest of their children, best interest of their children. And they could not understand why it seemed like the children did not respond. To your point, Mr. Horsley, early on, there was this fear factor there, and there was a good bluff going. But after they got some of them 12, 13, 14 years old, they could no longer bluff them. And that's where the breakdown came in. I think it's important that culturally we define what is appropriate discipline for all of our children so that we can encourage that, we can support that in our homes, in our neighborhoods, and in the communities. And at some level, we have some written standard for what is appropriate for all of our children, you know, that will lead to success in society. It just amazes me how you can get 100 parents in the room and you start talking about how you deal with certain behaviors for children, and you have a major disagreement there. Pastor, you saw this in your work in terms of your street ministry, how when people come, they're reflecting on what they've been through, their negative past quite often. And sometimes they'll say, I don't want my child to have to go through that. You know, I wouldn't allow to do this, and that, I don't want my child. Is that a healthy idea? Is that a healthy mentality?
Well, you're saying a lot right there, because they don't know the experience. And, you know, it's easy to say that I don't want you to go through that, or I don't want to do this. But once a person experiences it, you know, and it's almost, it should be easy for you to stop doing that. And I like for, you know, for you to just really look at it, you know, for example, and as you said, I myself, you know, I got on drugs. And someone else may say, oh, you can stop. That was easy to say that. It sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
But the power being controlled, as I was hearing earlier, about they're looking for someone's approval.
Right.
And I like how he put that. When you're looking for someone's approval, for instance, I'm ready for this particular drug that's controlling me to give me the approval that I can stop. But it didn't give me that. And so that's when I noticed I had to holler for some help, because, you know, I was supposed to be grown, but I was still thinking like a child. And I was looking for the approval. You said when the child was first calling, and am I doing the right thing? I like that, you know, because once they got, come on, and you know, continue to come like that. But, man, I like how he put that. And it is kind of tough when you haven't experienced it, and it just sounds like, oh, you can stop, which a person, I would say today, can stop. But not everybody knows the Word of God, and, you know, the Word of God sounds really good. I mean, we can quote the scriptures, and we can say a lot of things if we know them and can lead them to them and maybe them in a lot of things. But if we don't know how to apply, don't know how to feel that pain that they're dealing with, you know, that's pretty tough, man. You know, the word says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But that really sounds really good. But if I don't know how to apply, then I'm going to have to learn like a child, take it easy on the child. Because the child may start running in a few minutes, but right now they're trying to crawl and get to that next step, man. That's the way I think, being gentle and meek. And I mean, he put it really plain. I mean, you don't have to, like years ago with my mother, I was with her, and she would give me that look, and it spoke volume. You know, I knew not to do, because she looked at me a certain way. And, man, it just took me back when he was sharing. He was sharing some good things, man. I tell you the truth.
Oh, yeah.
Really.
Mr. Horsley,
yeah, so.
when you presented last year, one of the things you said, and you may have seen this in the promotional clip where you were sharing, as you go around and you talk to churches and groups and young people, one of the things I notice you focus on is purpose, focusing on getting people to understand what their purpose is. How does that relate to Proverbs 21:1? A good name is rather to be chosen than great. Can you correlate those two concepts there for me?
Yes, and, you know, that was something that I would recall at an early age in church service and Sunday school.
Okay.
And I would hear that, and that really didn't resonate with me at that time as a young child. But yet that was something that was instilled in me. And then as I began to mature, that became not just a sin, but that became a reality. To have a good name, a good reputation, to remain, be a focus. Matter of fact, I plan to talk with a group of, I'm assuming they're going to be primarily college students that's preparing to talk at the opening of the legislation. But what I will remind them is to be focused. Mm. Is to make sure that you have a purpose. You can get 10 people or 100 people together, but unless you know why you are gathering, what's your purpose, what's your strategy, and what is the outcome that you are seeking. Last spring, before the session closed, I suggested to all those participating, I said, get you a card or something, and just write on that card why you're here. Mm. You know, some said, a voter ID. Others said a health insurance. I said, you're not there making a lot of noise. You want to let the legislators, the media, whoever, to know this is the reason that you're here, and what we're seeking, and that's saying, I don't think that same strategy can be used in whatever your aspirations are. It's to remain focused. And I said to another group of people recently, we have to be connected. Mm. In the 1960s, when the sit-ins and other demonstrations were taking place, on Tuesday nights, every Tuesday, there would be a mass meeting where people would come and they would listen to what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important today. It's the being connected. You can't say that you are a leader unless you're connected to the people that you lead. You can't push. You can't pull unless you're connected to them. And I use a sort of analogy, you can't be an old country boy. You want to pull a wagon, you got to hook the mule or the horse to the wagon in order to pull it. And that's the same way with the people when we claim to be leaders. We got to be connected. The people in the community need to understand what we are doing and how we're doing it. Is that and I can even take that connection even with a little child. You got to be connected to that child. That child need to understand that that's a friend of mine. That parent or that relative here that I can really, I'm so connected to that person. When they say no means no, yes means yes. Whenever you give your approval, or your disapproval of whatever their actions would be. And I want to say this one of the things that's really is peer pressure. The children feel peer pressure earlier than any other point. I would say even in kindergarten, because all children come in are not equal. It could be even relatives, children. Mm. One child has been told you have to wash your hands. Others saying you have to be still, you can't do this, or whatever. Then there's another child next to him across the table doing just the opposite. And that's confusing to that particular child at that particular time. And that's why that connection that child needs with that guardian, that parent, to look, I'm doing what's right. Before I feet. I'm going to wash my hands. When I get through, I'm going to take the crayon and I'm going to put it in the box. I'm going to do all those things that I have been taught to do, although it's different than the child next to me, because the child next to me across the table from me do not have the same discipline than than the child who is doing those things that I described.
That is a good segue into the next conversation. I'd like to do an announcement, an advertisement, and then when we come back, that's the question I want to ask. How much control over determining what type of discipline a youth or an at-risk youth receives does a parent or guardian has? That was exactly the question I wanted to ask you. So when we come back on the other side, if you could you can hit that for me, I appreciate it. That was right on the money right there. That's what we need to talk about. This is Talk Straight. This is your host, Ruben Dockery. We're on tonight with our special guest, Mr. Vincent Horsley, and our regular panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller. And we're going to go to a brief break, and on the other side, we're going to come back and have more conversation.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from the streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up be a man, but I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked, where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Well, son, I tell you, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it and splinters and boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor bare. But all the time, I's been a-climbing on and reaching ladders and turning corners, sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So, boy, don't you turn back. Don't you set on the steps, 'cause you find it's kind of hard. Don't you fall now, for I still going, honey. I still climbing, and life for me ain't been no crystal stair.
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Ruben Dockery. Our special guest tonight, again, is Mr. Vincent Horsley, civil rights activist who continues to be a motivational speaker and a presenter. And we also have with us our guest, our regular panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller. Talk Straight is a national dialogue format that allows us to share important information confronting our families, our communities, and society as a whole. We're based in Nashville, Tennessee, but we have a national appeal, and we're targeting at least 10 cities to bring a research-driven model to help bolster community engagement and strengthening families by empowering young people. When we left last from the break, to go to the break, the question that we were raising after some really good dialogue was for our panel guest, Mr. Horsley. How much control over determining what type of discipline and a youth or at-risk youth receives does a parent have? Or do you have to wait till you get in trouble with the law for the courts to tell you what you can and can't do? Or do you naturally have that control? Mr. Horsley, you want to address that for me, please, sir?
I think that you should have that control. I know some people look at define abuse a little different than others, but
mm-hmm.
you would think that a grown person would be able to distinguish behavior. You know, whether it's whether it's physical or verbal.
Right.
I'm opposed to just yelling at children. I visited a particular school,
mm-hmm.
and the teacher was yelling at the top of her voice. So made a statement. I was really talking to her, but I said it to another person. She mm-hmm. needs her inside voice. That's what they say to children. You know, you need your inside voice. But to her, that was discipline. You know, you could have said that whatever instructions that you were given, and you could have said it with a different a tone. You know, I have also worked with my union in preparing constituents for arbitration, a hearing.
Okay, okay.
There are three things that's extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the content, your message.
Right.
Your body language. And also the tone of your voice.
Wow.
Those three things are very positive, and that can be applied to with any type of behavior, whether you're with a child, with a loved one, or even with a stranger where you're having some misunderstanding. It's the content to understand what the problem is. Then what is that you want to the issue you want to resolve and the strategy that you're going to use. The tone of your voice can mean a whole lot, because then if you have a tone of a voice that's unacceptable, then that person is going to match it. They're going to use a different tone of voice than they really prefer to, and as well as their body language.
Right.
So
right.
Even with discipline, it's more. I don't know whether there's really a textbook, a manner to doing that. It's just what works in your household.
That's
and how you started out. Uh-huh.
Right. You raise an interesting point there, Mr. Holder, because if I would go back to the text in Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, verse 6, it said, train up a child in, notice what it said, notice the wording, in the way, not some
right.
way, not
the way.
Anybody's way, or come up with a way, but it suggests that there is a specific manner So you were saying you're not, you don't know if that's a textbook. I do want to believe, though, that what the text here is alluding to is the fact that there are some observations from birth that as parents, the experts of our children, we ought to be able to make such that we can follow our children based on that observation and our interaction with them, and we can determine how to best engage them, how to best motivate them, to inspire them, and even to console them when they're feeling bad. Sometimes parents don't even know their children are going through things. They don't have a clue what's going on in the child's mind.
True.
You know, but I think what the text is suggesting when it says, in the way, recognizing from birth what that child's natural agilities and abilities are that God has given them. And that's what we work on as parents, to bring that out, to build on that, to strengthen that, and to construct a strong, viable culture that can sustain itself anywhere in the world. What about that?
In truth, and it's very true, but then the challenge there is that we're using our definition of the way, and I'm in agreement as you explained the way, then that that child, that that teenager, that young adult have experienced another form of attention.
I see.
And that can be confusing.
Okay. Now, so wouldn't that make the case then, Mr. Horsley, wouldn't that make the case for you and I and others coming together to say, listen, in the interest of not confusing any of our children and subsequently setting them up for failure, why don't we agree on what the way is that we all are going to follow to raise our children? Now, I told mine, when you get to be of the age of consent, there's nothing I can do to you legally. If I whip your tail, man, you call the police and they'll arrest me for assault. You understand? But when we've raised you to that point, at that point the expectation is that you are now making conscious decisions about what your actions are. But as a parent, it's my responsibility to identify what is the appropriate path or process by which you grow up in order to become responsible and productive in the world. Maybe I'm wrong. Somebody correct me.
No.
Go ahead.
Then we get into consequences. You know, some of the discipline, most severe discipline, was not being able to do what I wanted to do. You know, I was told, you know, you didn't. You were supposed to have cut the grass, and you didn't.
Right.
So we're not going to do this, or we're not going to do that. But then it depends on just how severe the consequences could be or will be.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that, you know that we could come up with some common ground of what the way is. And I think that some people really just don't know. Parents really have no understanding at all on how you can, when it comes to corrected measures.
You know, and I see that largely with those who are sympathetic to the cause of Black Lives Matter in particular. I do applaud the young people for making it known that they have grievance, right? But then I ask myself, how well did those young people's parents or responsible people in their lives teach them what was appropriate such that some of the things that they claim are happening, well, I'm going to venture to say many of them are associated very closely to their interaction with law enforcement. And the question is, why is it that you have so much interaction with law enforcement? Negative interaction in particular. And when we get to understanding that, I think we'll understand that there are some places we have no business being, some things we have no business doing. And what is the basis of saying we have no business? Collectively, the community has agreed that this is inappropriate and counterproductive for all of our children. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. You know, I'm going to say this, and this probably is not a very popular statement, but some of the things that have happened to a lot of our young men could easily have been prevented if you had just, people say you're thinking cap on.
That's
it's time to be quiet.
Yes, sir.
One person would believe that they're just being assertive.
Right.
But it's time you just don't say anything. Just follow whatever commands. Right. And I would say that to my constituents at work. Never say what you're not going to do. If you've been assigned something to do, just don't tell your supervisor you're not going to do it. Then the issue is not on what you was assigned to do. The issue then is going to switch to insubordination. And insubordination is grounds for disciplinary action up to a termination.
Right.
So I talked with my grandson. He just turned 18 years old back in September on that. I said, if you are confronted, just use judgment. Watch me. You don't necessarily, because you don't talk back, doesn't make you a coward. It just makes that you just being sensible, understand when a person's got an advantage over you.
Right. Authority.
I went through that, you know, during the sit-ins. If we had been fighting back, like people say, I couldn't have taken that. Well, if you hadn't have taken it, it would have been a bloodbath. Because there was some people that was some policemen, and then there were some people who were actually opponents of a desegregation. Okay. They were looking for a fight.
Right.
So that's why you really had to endure whatever treatment that you were going to experience. It gets back to what I said earlier. You have to be focused, know your purpose, know the strategy, understand the strategy in order to get the outcome. And that's why, even though it wasn't a pleasant thing to be spit on, to be kicked, and all of those things, but I understood, I had faith of what the outcome was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why we endure that.
Right.
And I say this to young people now, is there are some things in life that you just going to have to take. That don't sound very pleasant or sound good, but there are certain things that you're going to have to take. You got to go along sometimes to get along.
Well, it's just like going outside when it's raining. We don't have an option but to deal with the fact that it's raining. I might not like how hard it's raining. There's some things I can't do about it. Is that right?
Mm.
Now,
that's
what I can do, to the extent I can do something, I should. But I need to know and understand well what my limitations are in those situations. You know, I even hear, gentlemen, people talk about the fact that as people of Afro descent, we've been misused and abused, and we've been stripped of our culture, and America is our greatest enemy, so forth and so on. Well, the reality is we were all born here, and we've lived here, and we've made many sacrifices in establishing ourselves, right? Despite all of the negative things, it is incumbent upon us to make sure that our future and our quality of life is where we want it to be in America, using every right and every resource that we have to do so. In regards to what someone else does, you have got to maintain and sustain yourself. I think a lot of young people have the false sense of awareness that somehow something is owed to them. I'm not so sure that's the case. But you have got to assert yourself. First, you have to establish yourself and then assert yourself within society. And to properly gain what is properly yours, obtain what is proper, and maintain that. But so your point is very well taken. Your point is very well taken. I did want to ask Pastor Waller, as a pastor, how much of this do you think ministers and church ministries can focus on as a part of their regular teaching in terms of helping people understand the difference between being abusive toward a child and actually providing proper discipline?
Well, I would say, Pastor, you know, it's about the instructions. You know, if we have the proper instruction, I think it would a lot. And, you know, I was just thinking while you all was talking, and, you know, I share this a lot, and it's only because of being in it for so long. And then once I got free, I started to appreciate knowing that, you say, the sharp man sees the evil and takes cover, while the simple goes and gets in trouble. So have placed trouble before the people as a trap. But they didn't make trouble look. See, trouble was not looking like trouble. It looked like joy, fun. And I'm sad to say, I mean, I have to be honest, because this is what we're doing. We're talking straight. And
yes, sir.
When
yes,
young people growing up and society has so much to offer, and it's almost... it's so challenging, you know, to not tap into some of the things that the young people are indulging in. I mean, even with upbringing, it's really, really good. I mean, upbringing is positive. Upbringing that's knowing that, hey, I've taught you very well. I've given you the instructions. But here's the peer pressure. The peers I'm affiliated with and how they say, man, just one time. Girl, y'all just do this. I am, right? Okay, the trap that is going to get you the second time, the same is going to get you the first time. And that's where discipline come in at. And it has to be an everyday, ongoing discipline situation and circumstance. And I think that the kids today deserve the church as a whole, the body of believers, and since the word of God does give you instructions. It says, give instructions to a wise man, he'll be yet wiser.
Amen.
He says, teach a child, and he'll increase in his learning. So what that says to me is that it's not that lost, and I don't know anything about the Word of God, and you do, and you're in the church, you have all this information, and you're watching me just dwell in trouble. And you won't even come out and extend a hand. I would say it ought to be a law against the churches that does that. But it's not to be. So I can't, you know, put the law in motion. But I would say that, man, you know, with all that information that they have in church, I'm talking about the Bible, and it says go out into the world and meet the people where they are. And that's the way they get information, because the upbringing and the training for those who have it, that's a great thing. But let's just say the one that does not have good instructions, or the foundation is not strong, and have captured them And I'm only coming from an experience of myself, man. It really looked, the track really looked good. But it wasn't good at all. It wasn't good at all. I think it was a terrible thing, man. And there's so many young people are walking into it now. And it's a sad thing for the church, as I said, to have those doors swung open on those particular days and neglect the work that comes from when you get strengthened in the church. You should go out and do something with it. I mean, that's what I would, you know, think anyway. That's
all
the
right.
purpose of going. So we have a little
you know
with,
what?
You know.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. You know how time does us, Pastor Waller. We got about another 8 minutes or so before we have to leave here. What I'd like to do is to get this last announcement in, and let's come back and bring some closure to our discussion and wrap it up and see if we can, in 3 points, identify the difference between child abuse and parental discipline. This is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reuben Dockery, and we're on with Mr. Vincent Horsley and Pastor Ricky Waller. The number is 657-383-0944. We have a few more minutes. After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hello, listeners. This is your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. Here, you can share your thoughts as well as become informed about very important social issues confronting society today. Please take the time to visit my website at bfcinstitute.com. That's bfcinstitute.com. To learn more about our efforts to educate, inspire, and empower disadvantaged families across America to improve the quality of life. The best way to stay in the loop of future broadcasts, times and locations for our traveling educational lecture series, and innovative ideas is to become a BFC Institute seminar participant. You may do so by clicking the Join Our Group tab on the homepage. I would be delighted to respond to your suggestions and engage you further in most transformative information. Again, thank you for joining us, and I look forward to hearing from you online.
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reuben Dockery. And again, the number to call is 657-383-0944. Share your questions, your comments with Mr. Vincent Horsley and our panel guests, Pastor Ricky Waller and yours truly. As we wrap up these next few minutes here on Talk Straight tonight, we'll wrap up here about 8:30. Gentlemen, and can you sum up in maybe 3 points? Where do you see the difference between, I know we have some subcultural differences about a lot of things, and one of them is how we should rear our children in terms of discipline and so forth. But give us 3 points, if you will, Mr. Horsley, if you will, begin. Lay out to us what are three central things you think in terms of differences between child abuse and parental discipline.
One thing that I is important, and I have shared this with a lot of people, you have to be careful who you trust your children with.
Wow.
Because every babysitter, every daycare, and every here is not equal. And when I'm saying, when I say equal, they don't adhere to your standards. So that's extremely important.
Wow.
And extremely important emotionally, educationally, or just whatever that you are trying to instill in your child.
Yes, sir.
And then
yes,
also
sir.
To be in is consistency. You know, when you whatever your the type of behavior that you're trying to promote in that child, you've got to be consistent with it, and then you have to convince that child that that's for their good. It's not punishment.
Right.
It's what you're doing. You're trying to establish a behavior that is for their benefit.
Right. Right. Okay. Wow, man, that's powerful. And that's consistent with what the research says. I should add. Anything else before we go to Pastor Waller there? Mr. Holster?
Yes, sir.
Anything else you want to add there before we go to Pastor Waller?
No, that's it. I was just interested in hearing what Dr. Waller was saying. And one thing I want to say to him that I really appreciated and enjoyed his presentation with his book, The Trap.
Okay. Great. Yes, sir. My son and I read it, Mr. Horsley, and we both walked away with the same conclusion. I'll just briefly share this story before he speaks. When I first got to Nashville as a student at Fisk in 87, there were two things I heard about, and I grew up in the streets of Chicago associated with gangs and what have you. I heard about the Barbershop Boys on 16th and Joe Johnson, and I heard about this infamous character they call Fat Ricky. And you know how God brings things full circle now. It's almost 30 years, and here it is that I got to meet the man, and now he's not destroying his community, but he's put his experiences in a book to help restore and heal the hurt that he caused for us. I often think about that, and that's a very powerful thing. I just blew your horn for you there, Pastor. Go ahead. Let me be quiet. Let me tell y'all.
Mr. Horsley, man, I sure appreciate you sharing that, man. I mean, I've been just excited about listening to you. That's why I was just really sitting back and wanted to continue to hear the things that you were saying, which was so valuable to me. And what I'd like to leave with the two of you and our listening audience is that to be a good example, you know, that's something that I wasn't being years ago as you brought it on up to speed. And I've placed in the book and I've shared pain, and also I've shared the unspeakable joy to know that to be restored in order to help other people, you know, we have to get that book out as many places as we can purpose of doing real. And I really, really appreciate what you're saying. So I would say being a good example, you know, would set it all straight. And that means that we have to be daily that example that would cause one to desire to want to be like, you know, say, follow me as I follow Christ, one of those type things, man. And, you know, it's been tough over here, but it's been all worth it. Don't get many phone calls to get when I was captured, but I still fight for the right to help as many people as I can while I have a chance. And so I'm inspired by what we're sharing here tonight.
I love what I'm hearing, and I'm prayerful that as others archive this show and they listen later on, that they will understand where you gentlemen are coming from. What's key about discipline is its prefix, disi, and it comes from the Latin to provide example. Even Christ had disciples, or people who learned under his tutelage by his example. And this is where I believe many good people go wrong. Their families are constructed in such a way that the examples that, and you said this, Mr. Horsley, you have to limit it who you expose your children's example to, who you expose, what examples you expose them to. And you have to set the proper context for character development and growth and example at home. And you can't control what folk do other places, but you can control the values of your home. And why it's important for us to permeate those values that are shared among families within the community is so that when you go outside of your home, should my child or your child have to be corrected, the basis of correction is that we all agree that here is the model and the standard for behavior for all of our children. As adults, as parents, individuals with custodial authority over our children, we all agree on that. And so this will not allow children to manipulate when they go out to other social venues, such as the school or the daycare or places like that, even at church, I'd say. So this is a very powerful thing. That, but discipline has to do with establishing example. And if you do that well, you won't have to do a whole lot of physical spanking or flipping if you do it early and you do it well. I would submit that a lot of good people don't know how to engage children in their early formative years in such a way that they are the primary voice of authority and the primary example of interest for their children. There's a whole lot that could be said about that, but I think that's a good way to sum up the show. Limited exposure. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
But I said it really is. You're right about that.
Yeah. Limited exposure to other types of examples. Consistency with discipline. Tell the child something, that's what they should get, good or bad. And if someone else is to speak into your child, what they speak into them must be consistent with what has been spoken to them at home. And if you can't do that, don't say nothing to my children.
That's
got a problem.
True, you know. And communication is so important. It's very important on that. I was sort of having fun with my granddaughter. She was 12, and I said, next year you're going to be a teenager, and you're going to get, as you start with the boys in here. And I said, when they start telling you, I said, when the young men tell you, start talking about his favorite ball team and his favorite song, I said, get around to ask him, what is your favorite scripture?
Watch out. Don't start. Say, what's your favorite scripture? That'll mess him up right there, Brother Horses.
That'll get him right there.
Yeah, that'll mess him up right there. What? No, but you know, that is so true. And we have to teach young men that your conversation must be consistent with who you say you are. Because you can talk the talk, but if you can't walk the walk, that's where you're going to have a problem. That's where you're going to have a problem. So it looks like time is working against us again. We have about 3 minutes before we get out of here. If either of you want to give us about 30 seconds summary before we leave, and we'll give a few more announcements before tonight, and we'll come back next Tuesday, and we're going to be talking about Negro musicology. Negro musicology. Give us about 30 seconds and wrap up there, Mr. Horsley, our guest for tonight, Vincent Horsley.
Well, certainly this has been a pleasure for me to be here. And sometimes, you know, you have a chance to enjoy your own thoughts. You know, I mean, I certainly have always enjoyed you. I've learned a lot from you, and I've learned even more tonight, and also from Dr. Waller as well. And I'm just looking forward to another opportunity to sit back and listen to you, and because you have so much to offer, And I'm just sure that this mission that we are part of certainly is going to benefit countless of not only boys and girls, but also of parents.
Praise God. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. We're going to definitely have to have you come back again.
It'll be my pleasure.
All right, sir. Pastor, you want to give us about 30 seconds there, and we'll give our announcements, and we'll get out of here.
But I still appreciate it, man. I would say, well, there's two or three gathered together. Such an agreement. Yeah, he'll be in the midst. We'll always be in the midst. As long as he's in the midst, everything's going to be all right. That's what I would like to say.
All right.
Just keep him in the
midst. I'm sorry.
Yes, that's it.
Okay, all right. Well, I got too excited there. Let me just say we have about 90 seconds here. We do want you to support our traveling lecture series, where we're looking at from 1865 to present the effects of experiences, particularly for African-American males, with the intent to help educate. And let me encourage you to go to our webpage. That's bfcinstitute.com, and look at our the workshop and look at our current initiative here in Nashville, Davidson County, the Parent Empowerment Initiative. You can go look at the initiative tab and then scroll down and find the subject matter there of interest. Please make a contribution to our calls. We have a PayPal account, which is a secure account. But when you do so, we'll have your contact information, and we can get you information to file your contribution as a tax deductible for the next year. This year is closed for the next year. This is Talk Straight. This is your host, Ruben Dockery. And again, we thank you. Join us next Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. for Talk Straight.